forecast as we see the rain falling around the area. It's a relatively light rain, but we are getting additional rainfall today. Drive carefully, slow it down just a little bit, and you may find some standing water along the roadways, so another reason to slow it down to prevent hydroplaning. It's Car Talk time on a Thursday morning, an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with Brad Dungis from Dungis Family of Autos, home of the 995 Oil Change. Good morning, Brad. How's it going today?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm doing very well. It's a beautiful rainy day in Bartlesville.
It is. The time of year that we need to get the rainfall because we probably won't get some later on. You know?
Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting spring. Kind of chilly for a while there and stayed cool, but our azaleas are really popping now in our, at our house.
And that's great.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Grass is getting greener for the rest of us.
Yeah, they're trying at our house there to get green. But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful time of year, springtime. Lots of people with allergies and stuff, too, so
yeah.
fighting all that. We're really busy. There's so much going on with the kids and soccer and school and everything else. It's a really busy time for us, and at the dealership, it's been real busy. We just completed our 77th anniversary celebration in April, and I just, you know, as far as that goes, I just want to say thank you to everybody out there. I mean, the truth is, you know, for 77 years and really going back even further to 1929 when we had that first Ford dealership in Tonkawa, it's all been about our relationship with our customers and the people that serve us at our dealership. And so thank you to the community, to all our customers through the years. I know you have choices in where you do business, and we would not exist if it weren't for you, if it weren't for your service. And, you know, everything we do has been built on that relationship we have with our customers, and that's really something that we're proud of. We talk about it every day with our team. You know, our team is, you know, we're part of the community. We are people that grew up around here for the most part, and really dedicated to our community, and you know, nothing we do could happen without our customers. And so thank you again to everybody who's made all that possible.
77, kind of a special number, I guess. It kind of works out real well.
It does. And you know, I mean, every year is great, and because we're always looking forward to, I mean, we talk about that on the show, and you know, but so many things in our lives change, but so many things stay the same. And the one thing that stays the same at our dealership is our people. And mm-hmm. the people are, you know, and their customers working together to help solve your transportation needs. That's really what it's always been about. I mean, whether you were in 1929 and, you know, the cars, the roads, everything was radically different than it is today. And now we're talking about things like autonomous vehicles and ride sharing and, you know, things that certainly wasn't considered in 1929. And, you know, heck, the big news this week was, you know, Ford's not going to make cars anymore, right?
That's what I heard. not going to be any more fusions.
I have had many people. My mother sent me another text this morning from Oregon where she lives. What is the deal? Why is Ford not going to make cars? You know, in a panic almost. And calm down. Okay, let me rephrase this a bit.
So for those that have just, that's all they've heard, let's explain that one just a little
now
bit.
What Ford is doing, I mean, first of all, Ford has committed to compete at the entry level, at every price point, and on fuel economy with their vehicles. What they're doing is transitioning from the traditional sedan to other types of passenger cars. I think that you're going to see different silhouettes. I mean, you already are if you think about it today, because I think in April, over 60% of the vehicles sold in North America were classified as trucks. Now, many of these are not pickup trucks. Many of these are SUVs or what we call crossover vehicles, which in the past were sedans, mm-hmm. let's face it. And back in the 70s, you had sedans, station wagons, you know, some sports cars, and then all of a sudden pickups. And then there was all of a sudden an SUV. And kind of the station wagon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, we had a few years there were vans, too.
There were vans, I don't want to forget about that. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
some
cars
great songs about
always
about vans in California. Yeah,
functionality, right, and how people use cars. And so I think what you need to understand in this is that cars are big. The Ford cars will be still be cars, passenger cars, but they're going to have different silhouettes. They're going to be highly functional. They're going to have more utility for people. Let's not forget that word in this sport. You know, SUV, the middle letter is utility, and I think what you're going to see is, you know, basically the end of the trunk. I think that's what Ford is basically announcing, is they're not going to build cars with trunks.
Okay.
Other than, you know, the little one in a Mustang, which is hardly considered a trunk.
You're not going to get the four suitcases in that one.
No. But what you can do is get a different kind of silhouette. They're going to continue to make the Focus. They're going to continue to make the Mustang. You know, we really don't know what this means yet for the sedans in the Lincoln lineup. They have not announced that. You know, I think Lincoln is committed to those segments, so I expect us to continue to have competitive sedans in the Lincoln lineup. But I can't say that for sure.
So for your customers, if someone still wants that traditional quote car look, you probably would sell them a Lincoln then.
I would sell them a Lincoln. I have also Toyota. We have the best sedans in the world, I believe, at our Toyota side, where the Camry, the Avalon, the Corolla, great vehicles. You know, I think the Fusion is a very competitive sedan. But the truth is, I might sell 10 or 15 Camrys in a month and one or two Fusions. And, you know, that's a national phenomenon. And so Ford's going to focus on the stuff that they think people want and try to match up with what the best DNA of Ford is, which is performance, adventure, trucks, SUVs. That's always been where Ford thrived and I think where people get attached to Ford, you know, connected with it. You know, and I'm kind of excited about this, actually. They've committed to have a completely new lineup in 3 years. You know, so this is, it's not like we're going to take these away and not replace them with other things that hopefully will hit that spot and answer your question of why and what does that mean? We've had a lot of concerned customers. I know you're a Fusion driver, yeah, Charlie, so, yeah. You know, I did want to bring that up.
Well, and I have already heard it from my wife, because we've talked about this, just thinking about one of the more SUV-ish models, mm-hmm. But Rhonda's not 5 feet tall, yeah. And so, you know, she doesn't want to climb up into a vehicle.
Yeah. On the other hand, she might like to sit up a little higher in the vehicle.
Yeah.
At times. I mean, this is what you're getting, is that these vehicles are just so different. I mean, if you haven't sat in one of these, you know, a smaller car like a Ford EcoSport or a Toyota CHR, these are small crossover vehicles that in the past would have been sedans. I mean, that just what car makers' imaginations would have created a sedan there. These are little cars, though, that are highly comfortable. They're very flexible. They've got great space inside. Because they sit up a little higher, there's the higher roof line, great visibility from it. You've got good vision of the road. It really is something people appreciate. And,
yeah.
And they're not hard to get into. They're easy in and out. The lower rears, so that when you want to put something in the back of the vehicle, it's easier than getting it up into the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
If you maybe have something that won't longer, that won't fit in the trunk, right? I mean, this is one of the limitations of a trunk. Some of them you can lower a seat or whatever, but you know, here with a hatchback, you can do all kinds of things with the seating, with rearranging stuff, so that you can go to Lowe's and get your lumber if that's what you need, or the, you know, whatever you need to get. And mm-hmm. You know, I know this is how people use their vehicles, whether they're going to a concert or they're going out to you know, pick up hay. You know, people use their cars for all kinds of different things. And so I just expect Ford to really hit this in a positive way. Right now we're still kind of unsure what that's going to mean. And even with us, they're being kind of close to the vest on what the new product is going to be. But we do have, we know some of the stuff that's coming. You've heard about the new Ranger, the new Bronco. I believe there's going to be something like the Bronco that's built off the Ranger, probably, that's a little bit smaller. You know, so I think Ford's going to have lots of different segments in there. And I think in a few years, hopefully, people will understand what they've done there. And I expect it to be successful. You know, I do think that there's still a place for the sedan. I'm not going to give up on that product. I think they're great cars, and there'll always be, you know, people who want that kind of vehicle. So
the rumor I heard was they would keep the Focus or something like
that. Yeah, there will be a Focus still. That's going to be there. They'll call it, I think, a Focus Adventure. I think it gets a little bit different name. It probably does sit up a little higher than the Focus. It'll probably come with some other kinds of technology on it. You might be able to get a 4x4 Focus, which is interesting someday. And but that should work around here. I mean, we see people of all kinds of vehicles wanting that kind of stuff for what they do. Mm-hmm. And, so that's really the story. If you have more questions about it, give us a call. I'll be happy to walk through it with you and show you what we do know. I know that there's a lot of people talking about it, so did want to bring that up.
And many of them come with some great sound systems, too. So work out some outstanding music while you're headed down.
Speaking of outstanding music, I brought our guest today is Lauren Green. Welcome, Lauren.
Hey, hi. Good to be here.
Symphony. And, you know, I think we've had you in here before.
Well, it's been very interesting to hear what you're talking about.
Well, I know
we drive a Fusion and an Escape.
I got two Fusion owners in here with me.
I'm listening, you know, I'm not sure if I was on mic, so I didn't say anything. But, you know, a lot of those SUVs have been built on truck bases.
That's true.
And so there's been a drivability factor, at least in past years, sometimes, you know, where you get a little rougher ride, you know, you're driving an SUV as opposed to a sedan.
Well,
I imagine they'll sort of be combining these more.
Has changed more. Yeah. I mean, the unibody trucks is really what drives that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, some of the larger SUVs and trucks are still going to be built that way because it's more rigid, it handles towing better, stuff like that.
But I would imagine they're not going to forget their customer base who wants that smooth drive, who wants the comfort of an easy access.
Quiet, smooth. Yeah. I think that you're going to see all that technology continue.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, you know, if you're going to compete at fuel economy and price and all that, you're going to have different versions of this that are going to work, be super efficient.
Yeah.
You're
going
to have, you know, that kind of flexibility so that you can meet your needs. Because the truth is, I think the driving dynamic, the whole that experience of the vehicle really probably doesn't change that much. I mean, or it continues to improve.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we are right now with automobile engineering and technology is really they're making rapid improvements in how vehicles drive. And, you know, a lot of that's technology driven. You know, can be problematic at times. So many more electrical systems and computers in your vehicle. But that's our responsibility. Our guys work really hard to stay up to speed on that.
Well, it's an interesting move because it's basically just pushing that evolutionary cycle a little faster, basically.
Yeah,
because
I
think
you've
seen a lot of changes over the years, like you're
saying. You are. And heck, you see it in our business, all through there. And, you know, I know, you know, it's not related to Tesla or something, but you know, there's startups all over the world that are building vehicles now, and you know, Ford wants to remain relevant and is going to be. I mean,
speaking of Tesla, I assume that they're going to continue with their hybrid technology and incorporate that in some of the models and stuff.
Both Ford and Toyota have made real strides in hybrid, electric, and all this. They are really out there.
We drive our Fusion's an energy.
Yeah.
So we
awesome
plug it
vehicle,
in every night.
Awesome vehicle. I've driven those, and you know, when you drive around Bartlesville, you're pretty much all electric, never need to use it.
Nobody hears you coming.
Nobody hears you coming. And, you know, I love that stuff. And, you know, you know, I know Ford has thought through all this because there's a lot of that technology out there, and that's where people want to go, I think. And I think over time there'll be more and more of it. We have a charging station at the dealership
that's
public, and we don't get it used very much. Yeah. Probably the only public one in town, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But we have that for anybody out there. If you're driving by and you need to plug your energy in, come on by.
I usually do, but it's not the car, so that's why I get coffee next door picture.
Well, we started that with great music, and I know.
Anyway, yes.
And
sorry.
So let's segue back to what you normally do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's well, let's see. Talk about Fusion. We're at the Fusion
that's a
weekend.
Good segue.
Yeah,
too.
There's a segue.
Uh-huh.
We've got with the Bartlesville Symphony. We've got a group coming in named the Annie Moses Band.
Yeah.
And some people like go, "Oh, wow! I know them. I love them. I've been following them for years." And other people go, "What's a band named Annie Moses?"
Uh-huh.
You know, and so really, it's a family of brothers and sisters, sort of led by mom and dad. And these brothers and sisters are now grown, but they started when they were younger, and they sort of fuse classical training with folk music and bluegrass and jazz, and give a great show plus great entertainment.
Well, it sounds
and so they really have had quite a career since the early 2000s, and they're out of Nashville.
Okay.
And they tour all over the country, and they do solo shows and symphony shows, and so it's really going to be fun. And This particular concert we're doing Saturday night is called American Rhapsody. And they put out an album in 2015 called American Rhapsody. And it sort of delves into Americana in terms of the soul of American music with jazz, with bluegrass, with folk, with and melding classical influences into that. So you get some things like Rhapsody in Blue that sort of are crossover. Mm-hmm. And but they call it Rhapsody in Bluegrass.
Okay.
And so it's a whole different take on a familiar tune.
Not exactly what Gershman did with the Paul Whiteman Band.
No, which is, of course, a lot of people would be surprised to hear that, too, because you don't really hear that original jazz version of Rhapsody in Blue. So this is, you know, just a new take on a lot of cool music. And
they're really excellent musicians, too, I understand.
Some of them are in their 30s by now, uh-huh. I think. They were trained at Juilliard. So they have classical chops, and so they play violin, viola, cello, keyboards. Dad plays keyboards. Their dad is Bill Wolliver, and he's a really well-known arranger, performer in Nashville.
Okay.
And so he's really in the middle of the music business in Nashville. And so they, you know, as I say, they got their training at Juilliard and really then said, let's keep the family as a band, and so they've just kept it. And as kids have gotten older, then they've joined the band. So they're now there's six siblings, okay. Plus a couple of spouses even now.
And I guess they've been like you said, they've toured everywhere and been to Carnegie Hall, the Grand Ole Opry.
They really have real cred, and
they've also played locally at First Baptist and at First Nazarene.
As far as I know, they've uh-huh. been here over a few years. So they've never been in our hall. They've never been in the community center. So this will be a first.
Awesome.
And they've never been with our orchestra. But they all the arrangements are custom done by mm-hmm. the father, Bill, mm-hmm. who's, as I said, he's a pro at this. So he just cranks them out. And they're wonderful art. You know, I mean, it's just high-class music, but very exciting.
And they will be with the orchestra.
But they will be with the orchestra, yeah. Uh-huh. They'll play a couple tunes on their own, uh-huh. but they are the whole show on Saturday night with the orchestra on stage. So it's going to be a fun evening.
It sounds like a wonderful evening. And so it's this Saturday night. What time is the concert?
Concert's at 7:30 at the Bartlesville Community Center. People can get tickets by going to the community center physically and going to the box office. They can also get on the community center website, BartlesvilleCommunityCenter.com, and purchase tickets there.
Excellent.
And there are various levels of seating prices, so it can be very affordable.
Yeah. You have not been to a show at the community center, and there must be some people out there that haven't. You know, this is a kind of a perfect show to come see because because of the quality of the music. It's such a great place to listen to music. The sound is excellent in there. I mean, it's one of the best.
And the thing is, with a show like this, it sort of bridges genres,
right?
You know, so the person that says, well, all they do at the community center is this Beethoven stuff, mm-hmm. it isn't necessarily true. And this is a wonderful way to be exposed to what a symphony can be like live, and many people have not experienced that, but yet with music they'll recognize and songs they'll recognize. And
well, I hadn't really heard of Annie Moses, I didn't know I had, but I've heard some. I listened to some of their music, and I was like, "Oh, I remember that." I think I heard it on PBS or
you know,
something.
That's right. They do big PBS. They've made several DVDs, and you know, when they do all those fundraisers on PBS, and you know, get the this and that for a donation of $200, you get these. Well, Annie Moses is one of those groups that they play their specials and then sell their DVDs, or not sell, I mean, give them as premiums for PBS. And so they've had a real following with the PBS audience.
Awesome.
And so
I'm sure that's where
they have a couple Christmas albums and DVDs and so forth. They have really, it's interesting to look at what they do. They've really played the market well, I guess you want to say, because they don't just play music and show up and play nice music and go home, but they have developed amazing videos. If you go on YouTube and Google Annie Moses Band, you see one after another of these incredibly shot videos in the Rockies and in Oregon coasts, and very high production values with all the music we're doing on Saturday. And so they have really played that up, and just all the aspects of making music beyond just walking on stage and playing your fiddle.
Well, it is more than that today.
Yeah, well, it really is. You've got to. I mean, it's a whole unified marketing thing.
Well, just, that goes right to what you do all the time, I think. And that Bartlesville is kind of unique for a city its size and having its own symphony.
Well, yes, it is, because it's you know, a challenge in a town this size with changing demographics to support these sort of artistic endeavors that we have between the Price Tower and the Symphony and the Choral Society and the Ballet and all these great things that are around.
Well, okay,
and
Mozart, it just goes on and on.
And just the center itself. Mm-hmm. But we are so lucky to have it. And thus far, we're all making it and surviving. Yeah. And, you go from one year to the next and hope for the best. But we try to provide an entertainment level that will satisfy many different people. The ones that want to hear a Beethoven symphony can hear it, but those who also want to hear some crossover with bluegrass or something, but in a symphonic context, they can hear that too, which is totally new to people.
I think it's wonderful, and I appreciate what you guys do. It really enriches our community. And I know you, Charlie, you have a musical background too.
Well, I enjoy talking with Lauren about that sort of thing all the time, and it's just one of a shared interest. Lauren has a little bit of a radio background too, so it's a common point of reference.
Yes, well, I put on my radio voice.
So it's a shared point of interest, and we have a unique community. You mentioned some of the reasons that people need to see a live performance at the community center. In this particular case, Saturday night.
That's right, and it is. You can get in, like you said. It's not expensive.
It really isn't.
How much is the least expensive ticket? Do you know?
Well, no. I try to stay ignorant of those things. I bet you can get in for under $10.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. Uh-huh. Especially student prices are like half price, and so I think
good for the kids, good for everybody.
Yeah. This one would be a great family show,
I think so.
Because it's really fast moving and exciting
and
music
and interesting. Very interesting music. Yeah. It sounds like. Well, it's very exciting. We're looking forward to that Saturday night.
Everything from Rhapsody in Blue to the Bluegrass Special, or to
Orange Blossom Special.
Orange Blossom Special.
Orange Blossom Special, the Copeland Hoedown, so some familiar things. They do a lot of their own songs, too, and some really beautiful stuff. Folk music. It's just going to be a really great variety, and just looking at their videos again, I know they do really high entertainment value.
Cool.
So they don't walk out on stage and play and then say, for my next
still
song.
Still in doubt, go to YouTube and you can check it out.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing these days. You can just check it out,
it's amazing.
It's wonderful.
And you will announce this lineup for next season, too.
Well, yeah, because we're at that point where we'll be telling people what's in store next year.
So that'll be Saturday night also?
We'll be talking about that, and I gave a few teasers to Charlie yesterday, but everything from a big band with a piano soloist to a little bit of 80s music.
Okay.
Like a whole concert follow. But
that'll work for some of them.
Yeah. We're hitting a certain demographic here, I think. It's going to be a fun season. So we'll get more specific with that on Saturday night.
How many shows are you going to do?
We do five shows during the course of the season. We'll also include our February. It's become an annual tradition now. Evening of Romance at the Symphony in February around Valentine's Day. So pops music, classical music, all that has to do with being in love. So there'll be some nice variety
and
there.
I assume you can buy the tickets for a package?
You buy them as a package, and they will be on sale Saturday night at special discounts.
At special discounts, so great. So check it out this Saturday and get excited, and then buy the season
there
ticket
will be
for next year.
You can meet the artists. And
you're going to have an opportunity to meet the artists?
Yeah, they'll have all their merchandise there, I'm sure.
I'm sure
some cookies and stuff afterwards. So.
Excellent. Well, it sounds great. And is there anything else going on?
Not too many people know it because I've sort of put it on the back burner, but starting next week I can get working on the fact that I'll be directing the Children's Musical Theater production this year.
Awesome.
And I haven't done it since their very first several shows, which I conducted probably 15 years ago now. Uh-huh. Gosh, I don't know. And so it's Little Mermaid, and we'll be getting underway with that.
I mean, that's another
segue. It'll be so cool because I'll be conducting in the pit with the orchestra and leading the show, but the director of the production will be Caitlin Coggle, who starred in the first production that I conducted at the Children's Musical Theater. So it's sort of come full circle, and
that's awesome.
It's fun.
That's and it. We're the all Children's Musical Theater is another one of these great organizations in Bartlesville that really reaches into our community and pulls people into the arts.
You know, and it's,
especially those kids when they
and its name is so deceiving because you think, oh, Children's Musical Theater. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of your second grade show at school. No, this is professional level.
It's really high level stuff, and then you start. You see these kids like in the high school productions and in all that, and we are, that's another place where Bartlesville is just so rich in the quality of our kids
and developing
and their ability to access this kind of training early.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the Children's Musical Theater has had lots of people come through the program and go on to great careers in the arts and in music.
And, of course, in the fall, you get the opportunity to bring in about, 1,200 grade school kids.
That's true. Yeah. That's a real exciting thing that usually it's in September. We have fifth graders from all over the region, as far away as Arkansas City and up into Coffeyville, and of course all the local, and all these fifth graders come to listen to the Bartlesville Symphony during the day.
That's another point about the symphony that people might not realize is it really is an engine to get people to Bartlesville from our larger market around
it is. It is in a lot of ways. You know, we don't do it every week and every day, but on those days when we do it, people do come in from a long ways away, and because we are fairly unique for this area to produce professional level production and music, but in an accessible way.
And then when they come, they always go to dinner too, spend a little bit of money. I mean, that is the engine here that we need in Bartlesville. Yeah. It's awesome.
Good. Yeah. Good. So. And we're trying to even enhance our educational efforts and reach out into the community more. And this is a real topic of discussion right now with the symphony. So over the next year or so, you can expect to see even more ways in which the symphony reaches out into its
community. Well, I know this is going to start evolving. I mean, we haven't talked about like Tower Green. I mean,
oh my gosh, once that comes around, that's a whole new ballgame.
I'm sure the symphony will have some things there at some point.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think.
And it was so nice of them to name it after me. And
I love that.
Gosh, shucks.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Lauren.
Next it'll be, well, you've actually already done it, but it'll be Lauren Green Presents Lauren Green. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, 10 years ago, when I celebrated my, 30th year here, they put up a big sign and called it the Lauren Green Room right off stage. Okay. So, anyway.
Right, your legacy is well known. Yeah,
but they took the sign down.
And appreciated. Well, it's not maybe that much appreciated, but. You got your moment.
And it's always nice to have Fusion drivers in the room, too. So it works out all the way around.
We deal with that, too. When we've been here 77 years, some people probably take us for granted.
You know, and that is a challenge because people who've lived in Bartlesville say, well, of course we have a symphony. Of course we have this. Of course we have the community center. I'll go down there someday. It ain't going to be around forever if people don't support these things. And so it has to be an ongoing level of support, as you well know.
No, it is. Yeah. It is so important. And, you know, that's why we want to invite you in so you can talk about it.
Well, I appreciate it.
It really is important to me that we have these kinds of programs in our community. It is what makes us so
special. A real, you know, it's a circular thing, because when there's a vital community, that vital community is supporting people like you, companies like yours. If people aren't here, aren't coming to this town, aren't finding this a great place to live, they're not going to support what's here, and it's going to be a downward spiral. So it's all benefits us all.
That's great.
Support each other.
That is a wonderful way to wrap that up. I mean, we are all in this together, and I invite everyone out to the symphony this weekend to come see the Annie Moses Band. I almost lost it there. Moses Band. Go check them out on YouTube.
And that was their great-grandmother. That's where they came up with the name.
I wondered because I was looking at the list, and none of them are Annie Moses.
The lead is Annie, and sometimes she's called Annie Moses, but she's not really. But that was the whole shtick there. Anyway, thanks for having me in.
Sure. 995 Oil Change going on today.
995 Oil Change. Don't forget about the 7100 warranty. With any new vehicle you purchase at Dungis, you get a no-cost 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty at no additional cost.
Check it out, DungisChoice.com.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON.